Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
I've always given you the best thing since The Colour Blue, and you're listening to Therapy Suite right here on UK Health Radio, the world's number one talk health radio. This week, I talked to Janelle Pierre, a transformational financial confidence expert, creator of Confidence Money Method and author of The Money Confidence Code. We'll be discussing achieving financial freedom. Janelle, welcome to the show. How are you doing?
Hi, thank you. Thank you for having me. I'm doing great. How are you, Gavin?
I'm good, thank you. I'm good. You know, I think it would be brilliant for you to talk to us a bit about what you were doing before and how you got to where you are now.
Yes. So in order to understand that story, you kind of have to go back a little bit to find out where I got my footing. And back in 2011, I found myself at 26, sleeping on an air mattress on the floor in Queens, New York. And at that age, you know, in my mind, I should have done all of these things, or I should have been in college, I should have had a good job. But here I am laying on an air mattress on the floor in a two-bedroom apartment I'm sharing with seven other people, and I'm broke and I'm hungry. And as I'm laying there with my stomach growling and feeling all of these hunger pains, I started crying. And in my muffled cry, because I didn't want anybody to know I was crying, so in my muffled cries, something washed over me. And in that moment, I made myself two promises. I said, I will get out of this place. And when I get out, I'll never come back. And I'll never tell anyone that I was going through this. Because there was so much guilt. There was so much shame. There was so much judgment of myself in that moment that I never wanted anyone to know. And so in that moment, I got up. Something came over me. I just sat up. I grabbed the pen and the book that was sitting on the floor next to me, and I started writing out what I wanted my life to be like instead, and what I wanted my house to look like, what I wanted my car to look like. I started getting really clear on what I wanted instead of what I was experiencing. And I asked myself one question that changed everything. What can you do now with what you have? Which wasn't anything at all besides a laptop and an air mattress. And I decided that I was going to learn everything I could learn about money so that when I got the money, I will never come back to this place, that I was going to do everything that I can to hold on to it, to multiply it, to expand it, to share it, so that I'll never be back in this place again. And little by little, I started learning everything I could about money and climbing my way out. And as I was making my plans, climbing my way out of that situation, I got the opportunity to join the United States Army, and I took it. And everything from there was just money-centered. I started helping other people. I started helping people that were transitioning out of the military, because one of the things I realized really early on was that if you're not prepared, you can end up on that floor, on that air mattress, just like I was. And I wanted to make sure that people I was around was prepared for that life after military service, where that guaranteed twice a month paycheck was no longer a thing. And so when people started coming to me happy about the financial progress they had made, making, you know, hitting milestones they hadn't hit before, my heart started swelling up in a real different way. I felt something that I never felt before. And I was like, this is what I want to do. I want to always feel like this. I want to always do this. And I just started growing from there.
Oh, that's a fantastic story. How did you end up being in the apartment and sharing with seven other people? How did that happen?
So I moved back to New York after the recession. I wanted to move back to New York. I'm originally from Trinidad, and I decided I wanted to go back to New York. I just felt this pull to move back, and I went back, and I had everyone tried to discourage me from going back to New York, because this is post 9/11. This is post, you know, the recession, and all of the things that was happening. And I was like, no, I'll be fine. I'll be fine. And I wasn't fine for the first year and a half. I struggled a lot in that first year and a half until I decided to join the military.
Gosh. And You've had a remarkable journey from a retired U.S. Army sergeant first class to a financial coach. What inspired you to help others achieve financial freedom, and how does military background shape your coaching approach?
So that is, my military background plays such a huge part. Number one, it lets me know how to bring forth that collaboration, that sense of support. In the military, there is this thing, you never leave a battle behind. And the discipline that I achieved through military service and that sense of community plays a big part in my business, because I will never leave a client behind. If someone is ready to do the work, I am 100% ready to support that person. But if you are not ready to do the work, then there's nothing, I cannot convince you to want something better for yourself. So me being able to, number one, do things that I never thought was possible gives me more of a sense of support, how to support other people in doing things they never thought were possible, but they are ready to find out how.
Being in the military also, it gives you some skills, doesn't it? Like discipline, and it gives you that kind of routine to kind of stick by and that kind of thing. Because I've heard other people that have been in the military, maybe on social media, on TV programs, and some of them got to do really well, and like do really well, especially financially. And they talk about the discipline being in the army and the routine. They were disciplined in being in that routine each day in terms of working, knowing how to kind of also step back from, you know, pressures and all the rest of it, as well as the workout and exercise regime. Can you talk to them a bit about that?
Yes, of course. So in the military, of course, you know, we have very strict days. Like one thing I loved about the military that was so different from civilian life is knowing where to be, when to be, and in what uniform. That worked perfectly for me because I never have to think about what I have to do, where I have to be, what I'm doing for the day, what uniform I need to be wearing. And when you have disciplined yourself in that way, it's easy to transfer those skills into your civilian life or into the other things that you need to do. Another thing that I love is having the ability to know what my next steps are. So I was a culinarian in the military, and I knew from jump everything that I needed to do in order to get to the next level, in order to make the next rank, I knew everything because everything is just so structured. So it worked well in military life, but when it came to the business part of what I do for a living now, that was the thing that I struggled with the first couple of years in business, because in business, there is no, this is how it's supposed to be done. What works for one business owner may not work at all for another. So there is that structure. I struggled a lot when I first started my business because I'm like, okay, what am I supposed to be doing today? What am I supposed to be teaching on? What should I be doing? And I found out after a couple of years that there are no shoulds. You do what comes naturally. You do what your clients need you to do. You do what you believe needs to be done, and you test a lot of things and you see what works. But in the military, that works perfectly.
So you can kind of restructure, refocus. Any changes that happen, you just adapt to it, basically.
Yes.
Is that right?
Absolutely. Business is all about testing to see what works and what doesn't. It's a big experiment. No one has it figured out.
Yeah, absolutely. There's no magic formula, isn't it? There's just, you just have to hang in there and be resilient, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely.
You know, it does test one's psychology as well, doesn't it? I'm sure.
Oh, absolutely. And the surprising part about business is that when you're working for someone else or you're in the military, you're a representative of that firm, right? Everything that you do is when you wear that uniform, you're representing that entity. But in business, you're representing yourself, your values, everything that you stand for, and everything that you've experienced. And one of the things I didn't realize at all until a few years later as well was all of the things that I didn't deal with that was preventing me from being successful in business. That was the biggest eye-opener to me. Like, I started figuring out really fast that the rejection issues that I thought was just, you know, it's now showing up in my business. It's now playing mind games with me. Oh, what if they don't reject, you know, what if they don't want to hear from me? What if they don't like my accent? What if they think I'm, you know, all of these what ifs started playing, and I had to do a lot of internal work. I had to do a lot of healing from some of the experiences that I've had, some of the traumas that I've experienced, in order to fully show up in my business and be like, okay, I am the expert here. I am here for this group of people, and nobody else's opinion matters. Like, I've had to do the work to be that confident in myself.
Absolutely. It sounds like it was a journey for the self as well, basically, that is in terms of developing yourself.
Absolutely. Because for years I hid behind my success. I hid behind the things that I've done really, really, really well. And now I want this business. I want to help the people that I'm designed to help. I want to help the people that need me to help them, right? So it was such a huge lesson to be like, okay, if you really want to do this, if you say this is your purpose, then you have to show up for these people. Because if you don't, they're not going to hear from you. And they're not going to get things that they need from you. Like, this is your job, so you have to show up. And so doing the work has been a journey. I wouldn't say it has been a challenge. It hasn't been challenging at all, because I want to be better. But it's been a journey, and one that I will always be eternally grateful for, because it allows me to then identify those same things in my clients and provide them the help that they need.
Absolutely. Stress is a common result of financial struggles. What are some immediate steps people can take to reduce financial stress and regain sense of control?
Absolutely. Oh my gosh. Stress. Money leads to stress, leads to all types of physical ailments, the whole works. The number one thing I want, and I always guide my clients to, is to just stop for a moment, just for a moment, and look at your numbers. Look at your numbers. That is where everything starts. We cannot create a plan for a destiny or a destination that we aren't aware of. So you have to know your numbers, even though it feels overwhelming, even though it feels scary. Get a sense of your numbers. Know exactly where you are. And when you look at those numbers, it then allows you to create a plan for where you want to go next. Right? And then, so three things. Know the numbers. Use the numbers to make a plan. And do not, please, I cannot stress this enough, do not suffer in silence. It took me a longer time to get to where I am than I needed to take, because I wanted to do it on my own. I just figured no one will understand me, or no one will know how to help me. I'm too far gone. This is too much. Look how old I am. I don't have this. I was the one that was judging myself. But anyone that judges you is not the person that's meant to help you. And it's only a reflection on how they feel about themselves. So do not sit and suffer in silence. Reach out to someone that you trust and ask for help.
It sounds like you kind of, you advocate for like people having a mentor or a colleague that's in a similar industry to talk to. Would that be right?
Yes. So when it comes to, you know, breaking financial stress or healing the stresses and the trauma and the pains from financial stress, I have colleagues. There's some people that therapy works better. So I have therapists in my Rolodex, so to speak. I'm a little old. I'm taking it back a little bit. And I also became a neurotransformational life coach, because a lot of other therapists and different people who can help with issues often are not trained financially to give people financial solutions. So I decided to bring both elements together: the neurotransformational life coaching, which I can help deal with certain levels of trauma and certain, you know, limiting beliefs, help you overcome those limiting beliefs, and combine that with money. Because here's the thing: why that was so important to me. There were so many clients that I helped improve their credit, get out of debt, make good plans with their money. Like, I set them up completely. But then I turn around a year or two, a year and a half, 2 years later, they're back in debt. The credit is ruined again. And I'm like, what is going on? We did so much work to get to this point. And it was stressed me and frustrated me, because I really want people to win, right? Until I realized that we never touch the problem at the root. The money is never the problem. There is something going on at the root, and we never address it because I wasn't trained on it. Now I am expertly trained on helping you identify what the root cause of the problem is to solve the symptom of the money problems.
Absolutely. We're just going to a quick ad break and we'll be right back.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. The station that makes you feel good.
So, Ginelle, thank you for introducing into your background and a bit about what you do. Really fascinating, you know. Your coaching approach is, your approach focuses on healing people's relationship with money. Why is this emotional aspect so important and how does it affect the financial decisions? What you mentioned just before, actually, touches base with that, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely. So healing the relationship, that emotional relationship that you have with money is so important, because how you feel about your money, how you feel about yourself, the things you think about yourself, the things you think about money, the things you believe about money, all of those things play a direct role in how you deal with your money. So we got to go back. We got to go back and figure out, okay, when did this start? Why did are you holding on to this? What is your beliefs around money? If your beliefs were rooted in scarcity, in fear, in shame, much like my experience was, then it becomes so much easier to overspend or to avoid looking at your finances, right? So that is why it's so important to heal that relationship with money first before just handing you off a money plan or working with you to create it. Because guess what? Anything that I give you, it will run without doing that work first. It would run up against those barriers. It would run up against those limiting beliefs. It would run up against the scarcity mindset that tells you you're not worthy enough. It can't happen. It's not for you. So we got to deal with that first.
Mm-hmm. Of course. It sounds like, and it's like you mentioned, it sounds like it starts off internally and yes. That root cause and getting to the heart of that and then learning to move forward from there before, you know, you can help your clients achieve yes. what they need to, but also maintain as well. Because yes. you gave that example early on where you did help someone, but unfortunately they ended up being back in debt again. So, it needed to go a bit more to the roots. You've helped clients achieve life-changing results through your confident money method. Can you share how this framework supports both financial and emotional well-being?
Absolutely. So my confident money method is comprised of 7 components. First and foremost, we're going to understand your money story. So that's any beliefs, any patterns, any stories that need to be addressed first and then rewritten. The second part is building your self-worth and your money boundaries. So this is where we talk about financial and emotional well-being and how deeply rooted they're tied to how you feel about yourself. Because a lot of people tend to think, oh, I don't have money, or I messed up my money, so that means I'm not worth anything. No, what you believe you're worth is going to be reflected in your bank account, all right? Not the other way around. The third part is strengthening your financial intuition. This is where we work on you trusting your inner compass when it comes to dealing with financial and money decisions. Like, no one else's plan is going to fit you. You have to learn how to trust yourself and make those money decisions securely. The next part is crafting a bold vision. This is one of my favorite parts. I absolutely love helping people get super clear on what they want. Not what you think you should have, but what you actually want. Because if I hadn't crafted my bold vision, I probably would have still been struggling in New York right now and not have any of the things that I enjoy today now. Now, once you have that vision, the next natural step is to take empowered action. This is the practical steps now you need to achieve one thing at a time to hit those goals that you just created. Once you get off to a good foot and you know what you're working towards and you have a good handle on your finances, the next step now is to start building wealth. And not just accumulating assets, not just buying things, but accumulating wealth in a way that feels authentic to you. And the last step is to create a legacy. After you've gone through all of this, this amazing journey, you've gone through this amazing journey, now it's time to decide, what are you leaving behind, right? A lot of people leave behind debt. A lot of people leave behind money stories of lack and scarcity. Let's work on both the physical the monetary and also the wisdom. What are you leaving behind for your legacy behind you? So when we address both the numbers and the emotions that are connected with money, my clients get to walk away feeling more confident, more peaceful, more joyful, more abundant, and more on top of the world. And that's what makes me happier than anything else.
Because you get self-satisfaction as well, knowing that you're helping people. It's a great feeling, isn't it?
It's beyond anything that I can describe. Because half of the times when I work with my clients, what they thought was the problem isn't the problem at all. And when the problem is solved, the feedback that I get, nothing can bring. There's nothing that can top that.
That's brilliant. With the rising cost of living and economic uncertainty, what advice would you give to listeners to protect their financial health in 2025?
Oh my gosh, we are living in unbelievable times. Mm-hmm. And the number one thing that I have been repeating since this year began is to protect your mental health. Protect your mental health. That is something no one else can do but you. There are so many things that's going on that is outside of our control. And when you focus on those things, it adds to the stress, it adds to the anxiety, it adds to the depression, it adds to the worry. Turn it all off. If you cannot control it on an individual level, you do not need to be paying attention to it. But here's what you can pay attention to instead. You can pay attention to your money, creating your spending plan, building your living expenses fund, ensuring that you use debt responsibly only for the things that you need, diversifying your income streams. Make sure you have multiple income streams coming in. Invest in personal development. Invest in things that can elevate you. And most importantly, focus on gratitude. There are so many things you have right now that you can be grateful for. If you focus on what you don't have, you just bring more of that thing that you don't have. But focus on gratitude. Shift to a mindset of gratitude in this time and be grateful for the things that you have. That's, to me, is the game changer.
I always say to people that I talk to in an interview, gratitude, the number of times it comes up in my shows, I think it comes up every single time or every other time. Obviously, and I use gratitude as well. So, and I totally agree, it's a powerful tool. You know, you've got to be grateful for, you know, your health, you know, having food, having accommodation, you know, all that kind of stuff and whatever else it might be, you know, and it kind of helps you move forwards, doesn't it?
Yeah. Oh my, it took me a long time to realize how important gratitude was, because I remember when I was struggling, I was upset. I was mad. I was angry because I wanted more things to be grateful for. I was like, why should I just be struggling and scratching, looking for things to be grateful for? But at that time I had my health. I was still smart. My intelligence didn't go anywhere, right? I still had amazing work ethic, much like I do today. I still had so many things to be grateful for. And had I had something different, had I had an accident, couldn't move, needed to depend on people that weren't there, that would have been something completely different. But the truth about the matter is, whatever you are grateful for, you will get more of. So even if it's just, okay, the bills are paid this month, I'm so grateful the bills are paid this month, instead of focusing on, oh my gosh, I just used my last $500 to pay these bills and I have no idea how I'm going to pay the bills next month. We still got about 20 days. Well, not today, but in theory, we got about 10, 20 days before the next set of bills are due. So that's time that you can do stuff to bring in more money, right? But what are you grateful for now? What is in the present that can give you a sense of peace and a sense of relief?
Absolutely. You often speak about creating a life of freedom, joy, and abundance. How does financial wellness contribute to achieving that kind of life, and, you know, where people should start?
So the first thing about money is that when you take care of your money will take care of you. That is the first rule about money. And financial wellness is the foundation for building a life of freedom. Money is just a tool, right? So when you have that tool and you use it to your advantage, you're able to build freedom, joy, abundance. You're able to live, like me, in your purpose, right? So it allows you to remove the stress and the limitations that often hold you back. from focusing on what truly matters. So the first step to getting to that place is believing that you are deserving of it and you are capable of it. When you start seeing yourself as worthy of wealth, abundance, joy, peace, it becomes so much easier to build that life for yourself.
Absolutely. Many people feel overwhelmed or frustrated when it comes to improving their finances. What advice would you give to the person who's ready to take the first step but unsure of where to begin?
So feeling overwhelmed and frustrated about money is completely normal, especially since the majority of people were never taught how to manage money. Money is the only thing people beat themselves up about for not knowing how to naturally do. No one beats themselves, oh, I don't know how to drive a car. I'm old. I should be able to drive a car already. No, you have to learn. It's a skill. It's a skill like anything else, right? So the key is to take simple steps in order to gain control. Start small. Start by creating a system for you. Too many times people try to fit their personal, emphasis on personal, finances into someone else's plan. This is personal to you. So start small. Track your expenses. Set goals that are in alignment with you. Work on one of those goals at a time. Give yourself grace, give yourself grace, give yourself grace. And celebrate your wins no matter how small. If you saved $100 more this month, that is something that should be celebrated. If you saved $50 more this month, that is something that should be celebrated. It's not a race. Life is a journey. So start where you can start. Don't let the overwhelm and the stress block your ability to sit down with a pen and a paper like I still do to this day and map out the things that you want and start working towards it one by one.
Absolutely. I think one of the challenges is that we've all grown up with that kind of in the educational system of you've got to get a job, you've got to work 9 to 5, isn't it? And it's trying to kind of, and that's fine. If people are happy with that, that's fine.
Yeah,
but if you don't want that kind of life, then it's kind of reprogramming your mind to come out of that kind of sense of thinking, isn't it?
Yeah, we are programmed from the minute we are born. And when, depending on the household or the culture that we grow up in, where we're heard we are supposed to do this, you are supposed to do that, you're supposed to do the next. But then there's this voice inside of you that's screaming to do something completely different. And you have to be the first person to give yourself permission to do that thing and reprogram and retrain your mind into going with whatever you want to do. There's nothing on this earth that is impossible that you want to create. Everything that we see around us is evidence of that. Because that salt lamp behind me, that was once a thought in somebody's mind. It's now sitting on my bookshelf. All of those books on my shelf were once thoughts. What if they believed that they couldn't do it? And they just left that thought there. So this is one of the things I love about neurotransformational coaching. I get to use neurolinguistic programming techniques to help reprogram my client's mind, to help take out all of the things that's not in alignment with who they are and where they want to be and where they want to go, and put in new thoughts so that they can feel empowered to create the life that they deserve.
Absolutely. We're just going to another quick ad break and we'll be right back.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. The station that makes you feel good.
So, Janil, how does mindset play a role in achieving financial freedom? And what are some mindset shifts listeners can adopt today?
So mindset is everything. Mindset is everything. Mindset is everything. One of my favorite quotes is by Henry Ford when he says, whether you believe you can or believe you can't, you are right. That
I first heard
that quote in a cartoon was the first time I heard that quote. And I went and I looked it up because it just hit me in a different way. And like when I heard it, I couldn't even listen to the rest of whatever was going on in that movie. And I did so much deep reflection on it. Whether you believe you can or you believe you can't, you're right. Your beliefs shape everything. And if you believe something, your actions will be based on what you believe. So that ultimately leads to how you get your financial results. So if you believe you'll never get out of debt, you will do everything in alignment with that belief. So never underestimate the power of mindset. People, I have come across people that like to say, I'm a realist. I'm looking at reality. But you create your reality with your beliefs and your thoughts. You get to create your reality. What you're experiencing right now is evidence of what you created yesterday or the day before or the year before or the year before that. You're living in past thoughts. You're living in past beliefs. So if you want your future to be different, your mindset has to be different. So one of the first mindset shifts that listeners can adopt is to detach from your past mistakes. Your past mistakes about money or anything else has nothing to do with your future potential. Look back only to pull the lessons. What was the lesson? What was the thing that I learned? And use that to shape your financial future. The next thing you can do is to focus on abundance instead of scarcity. There is abundance in this world, and there is also scarcity. If you focus only on lack, you will see more and more and more evidence of lack. However, if you focus on the people that are making it, you focus on the people that are doing things in alignment with your values, with your core values, with your beliefs, and you pay attention to that, that's what you'll see more of. So put your mind on what you want and not what you don't. And understand that money is a tool. Money is not good. Money is not bad. Money is not anything other than a tool that you can use to create anything that you want. Any amount of peace, any amount of joy, any amount of legacy, it is only a tool. And the last thing I'll say about shifting mindset is to prioritize progress over perfection. It does not have to be perfect. Some people believe that if you can't save $500 a month, it doesn't make sense saving $50 a month. That is not true. Small, consistent savings over an extended period of time will add up. It all adds up. It's like going to the dollar store. You pick up a couple of things and, or like Walmart or one of the, you know, department stores, you pick up a couple of things at $5, you get to the register, it's $150. And you're looking at the things like, how did I spend $150 already? The same happens with your savings. So prioritize progress over what you believe is perfection.
Absolutely. And you hear many people talk about it, even on, you know, whether it's on documentaries or social media. You've got to believing is so powerful. It's so needed, isn't it?
Yes. Yes, absolutely. Belief is huge.
Like what you believe you are basically. Do you know what I mean? And you've got to kind of program your mind. It's like a daily exercise, isn't it? When you wake up during the day or whatever, at night, whatever it might be, you've got to think to yourself, well, I think I can do this. This is the kind of person I think I am. I believe I'm this kind of person. I believe I will achieve this. And you've got to kind of send your mind in that direction, isn't it?
Yes, 100%. No one can do that for you but you. Even if I believe in you 100%, because I am my client's biggest cheerleader. Every last one of my clients have my 50% support. But if I believe that they can do something or they are worthy of something and they cannot see that worth or belief in themselves, then I'm just speaking into the air. Your belief in you is the only belief that matters. Period.
Absolutely. No, absolutely. Financial detoxing has become a popular concept of starting fresh. What are your top strategies for a financial detox that promotes long-term success?
So I have three top things that I recommend when it comes to financial detoxing, because financial detoxing is a powerful way to start over and also build long-term success when it comes to your money and your goals. So my three top tips are: stop paying for what you don't use and does not add happiness to your life. I'm a big proponent for happiness and joy and bliss. Like, I believe everyone should be able to enjoy the finer things in life. But if you're taking the money and putting it towards things that you don't use, you're not maximizing, and it brings you no joy, then you are wasting money. Put money towards something that you enjoy at least once a month, right? Anything that's not in alignment with that, get rid of it. Another thing is to assign every dollar a job. Listen, you are the chief financial officer of your life. Your money works for you, not the other way around. When your money comes into the bank accounts, be responsible to assign in every dollar a job. Money is obedient. That tool, that's money, is obedient. So if you tell that dollar, go pay this bill or go into the savings account and earn 0.25%, money is going to do exactly that. So assign every dollar a job. Don't just let your money do whatever it wants to do and roam, however, and you're looking back saying, oh, I don't know where my money went. I'm tired of not knowing where my money goes. That's a personal problem. That's on you, right? And the last thing for a financial detox, especially now in 2025, is to be kind to yourself. Be so kind to yourself. Because every financial decision you made, at the time you made it with the knowledge that you had in that moment and you thought it was the best decision. You would have never made that decision if you didn't think it was the best decision for you in that moment. So be kind. Give yourself some grace. Learn from it and move forward. There's no limit to how much money you can earn. Just let's keep earning and being better with what we earn.
Absolutely. If we were to just summarize, what would be your top tips for people to achieve financial freedom?
My top tips is to, number one, be 100% clear on what you want without limits. Take the limits off and what do you want? I was going through my emails last year or the year before, and I cried when I found the house that I had chosen for myself when I was laying on that mattress, on an air mattress, busted, lopsided on the floor like this, no food, hungry, barely anything in my bank account. That's why I had no food. And I went out and designed a home, 4 bedrooms on a lake, right? With all types of fancy things in it that I had no evidence I could ever afford. Be clear without limits. Me in that moment was not me today in the future. And the house I live in now is pretty similar to the house that I designed. It's not on the lake, but I have a really spectacular view of the city, right? So be clear on what you want without limitations. Believe that you are deserving of it. Believe that you are worthy of it. I cannot stress that enough. And then take small steps towards achieving it. There is nothing you cannot do. You are powerful. You are amazing. You are beautiful. And you are so worthy of everything. Your money is not a reflection of you, but you get to determine the money that you can earn and what you can do with it.
Absolutely. We've got a few minutes left. What do you think your clients, in terms of, must have had feedback about your support.
Yes.
What kind of feedback have you had back from your clients?
Oh my gosh. Just thinking about the feedback makes me want to cry. Just last night, a past client of mine, commented on one of my TikTok videos, and she said, because of you, I have had so much financial growth. I'm so much better. I cannot thank you enough. And I'm like, this is why I do what I do. It was so heartfelt. It was so touching. She was so excited about the changes that she was able to make in a year from being in my presence. Her life is completely different. People go from believing that something is impossible or not knowing how to achieve it into now trying to figure out what can I do next to continue to grow my wealth, continue to be better, continue to be healthier, continue to have more confidence in myself. And that is some of the most amazing, amazing feedback that I can get. And it always stops me dead in my track, no matter what I'm doing. If I get a feedback, I stop and I just take it in. Because for a long time, I was just saying, this is just what I do. But now I realize it's my superpower and I lean into it, I take it in, and I do it again the next day.
Sounds brilliant. If people want to reach out to you about your coaching programs or just generally reach out to you for advice, where can they find you?
So I'm primarily in three places now. I'm building my LinkedIn profile, and it's under my name, Janelle Pierre. I'm also building a brand new TikTok because I shifted to, when I added neurotransformational coaching, my content is going to shift. So I started over, which is so beautiful. So TikTok, Janelle Pierre, and Facebook, my personal Facebook page, Janelle Pierre as well. So I post primarily on those three platforms, and also my website, JanellePierre.com.
Brilliant. Janelle, thank you for your time today. Much appreciated. It's been really, really informative.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And thank you to our listeners. You know you can find me on Instagram at GavinJ417. Until next time, take care.